We are so excited to welcome you to Gather to Scatter. We are Jordan, Mariah, and Rachel, three friends who love to talk about Jesus. Today, we are starting our new series on faith and work. I'm so excited for this series. We must gather well to scatter well. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll definitely be weird. But our hope is that we will encourage you to scatter well alongside us with a solid foundation on Scripture.
Yes.
All right.
We're back with a tatter. You guys, I forgot to send this to you guys. I was watching a show the other day, and they straight up used tete-a-tete. I have a recording. I'll show you guys after this. But they used the phrase tete-a-tete.
They got it from us.
Shout out.
Love
shout
that.
Tete-a-tete.
Gather to scatter.
I rewinded it because I was like, did I hear that right? And then I gave him my subtitles. So,
amazing.
It's love like, it. That's great. Okay. My tetter.
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What Disney princess?
Oh yeah.
Would make the best double agent?
Double agent?
Yeah.
Any of the recent ones?
What?
Any of the recent ones?
I mean, any of the recent ones.
Deceptive.
Oh. Okay.
Who? What? Who are you talking about?
Yeah. Who are you talking about?
Never mind. That's just me being. Bitter about
Rachel's like Disney. They're woke. The new Disney princesses are woke, so yeah. They're deceptive.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good.
I was gonna specify OG princesses.
Okay.
So.
I mean Mulan.
Mulan.
Would we consider
is she a princess?
That's what I was about to ask. Would we consider Mulan, Meg?
No.
Like, they're not princesses.
They're not princesses.
Hmm.
Wow.
That makes it harder.
Yeah, I guess they
I'll
are
say
princesses.
Pocahontas. She would crush it.
Is she a princess?
She is a princess.
She's a princess?
Yeah.
Her dad is the chief.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to go Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, okay. She's a good... But I feel like she's too, like, I'm going to do this my way and the right way.
Yeah.
It's not a good double agent.
Rachel doesn't like your opinion.
No, that's good. I'm thinking through it out loud.
Just joking.
If she wants to do it the right way and do it her way, then she could pretend to work for the enemy. What do you mean?
Interesting.
Who
do I think would?
Is Snow White a princess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm going with Jasmine.
Jasmine would be a great double agent.
Yeah, I think
I like that one.
That is a really good one.
Yeah, I think they're just also nice.
I know.
I guess you could still be nice.
Yeah.
I would crush it as a double agent. I'm nice. I don't know. I can't think of... Because, like, I was going to say Meg, but if she's not a double agent, and if she's not a princess...
Yeah.
Hmm.
Why do I feel like I'm blanking on Disney princesses, too?
We've got, like, Cinderella, Snow White, Ariel...
Oh, official ones are Snow White, Cinderella, Aurora, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, Pocahontas,
Belle.
Mulan, Tiana, Rapunzel, Merida. Oh, Merida. Moana and Rhea.
I think Belle would be a great double agent.
I don't.
Really?
She's my favorite Disney princess. I don't know that she would be a good double agent.
See, I feel like she would because she's so well read.
Yeah.
That she can... be convincing in a conversation.
But she cares too deeply. Like, I think I...
And Pocahontas doesn't?
Yeah, but like... I don't know. They just are different to me in that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I could just like... Because like, didn't she... Like, I could see her being like, tricking Gaston into thinking she's going to marry him in order to like, betray him.
I don't know. No.
That's a good question.
It is.
Thought provoking.
Who's Jane Porter?
Great question. Unofficial princesses. Tinkerbell, Esmeralda, Jane Porter, Alice, Megara? Is that Meg?
Meg, yeah.
And Kida?
Kida. All from Atlantis?
She
would be a great one.
She would be a
wow.
I think Esmeralda.
Esmeralda, absolutely.
Who is Jane Porter?
No, she's an unofficial princess.
Oh, okay.
Jane Porter is from Tarzan.
Okay, that is a stretch.
She is not the
Well,
princess.
Who's Alice? Alice in Wonderland?
Alice in Wonderland? Yeah, she's not a princess either.
No.
These are not
Well,
princesses.
No, they're unofficial ones. Okay. They're just starting out there. And then you get Elsa and Anna as the honorary official princess.
Right, what does that mean? They are literally princesses. They're...
Well, she's a queen. Elsa's a queen. Anna's a princess.
Okay.
Rachel's crushing it.
Okay.
On all these names. I know.
Which do we think would be the worst?
I think Ariel would be the worst.
Aurora.
Oh, yeah.
She's straight up asleep.
No, I think that'd be good. Isn't she a faker?
She can't do anything.
She's a big fat faker.
A faker?
Yeah, she didn't
She'd
need
just be like,
the prince
oh, no,
to kiss
I'm
her.
Under a sleeping curse again. I'm sorry, what? That's the basis of the whole thing.
I thought it was like a con. Like, she just wanted him to kiss her.
Have you seen it?
Have you ever seen Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, but I thought, like, didn't she pretend? Like, didn't she go back to sleep pretending?
What?
I don't know.
Maybe there was a sequel I never saw. I don't think so. She wasn't like, oh, man, I woke up. Let me go back to sleep so my prince will come. Yeah. That wasn't real.
No.
You made that up.
You dreamed that. That was a Mariah Disney princess dream.
I mean, I just relate to her because I love sleeping so much.
Girl, I do as well.
Full-on Rapunzel would be the worst.
Yeah, all that hair is getting in the way.
And she's so chaotic.
That's why I think Ariel would be the worst. I love Ariel. I think she'd be terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Interesting. I like it.
Wait, who's Merida?
Merida from
she's
Brave.
The Irish one. Scottish.
Oh, I like
that. Scottish. I'm sorry. Immediately corrected myself. Rachel's about to light me on fire.
Two very different countries.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the one from Brave.
I like
they turn into the bear. Yeah, I like her too. She's cool. Mm-hmm. She's cool.
Wow. Love it.
You know they're doing a Moana 2?
Yeah, it's out. It's
out.
Theaters.
Out?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How did you think of that question? Did that just come to you?
No.
You don't ask the origins of the tits.
Why not? I like to know your thought processes.
Because sometimes when it's last minute, you just Google, what's a fun question?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's less
not fun. All of them have been that way, but this one for sure was.
Yeah, that's a good
I'm not going to quote my source.
I like it.
You definitely can't put that into Google and find where I found it either. So,
love it.
Don't try.
I wasn't going to. No, I definitely won't.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, work.
You see what I did there?
I do.
All right.
What'd you do?
The transition.
Sounds like flawless. It's a lot of work.
Stunning.
Yes. Okay.
It's especially flawless if we have to explain it.
I am so excited about this series.
Yeah.
This is one of my... I like if there's like an area where you just really love to study, this is my area. Mm-hmm. I love everything that has to do with faith and work just because I do enjoy my job.
Yeah.
So I want to start out with what is work and what is its purpose in our lives? Because so we've kind of gotten into a place in the world, especially in the Western world and like the developed world where we treat work like a necessary evil, where it's just like, okay, I have to work in order to buy the things I want, in order to pay for the vacations I want to go on, or I have to work so that I can really do whatever makes me happy and fulfilled, and those would be like the leisure activities. So we're like just making it from Monday to Friday, and I mean, I'm guilty of this, where it's I go in and it is work, it is hard, it is toil. So it's okay, I'm just making it to the next day sometimes.
Like living for the weekend, working for the weekend.
Yeah. So it's you're working Monday through Friday just to live on those 2 days. Mm. Or like if you look at it big scheme of things, it's I am working these 50 years in order to get to retirement so I can do whatever I want. So I'm not bashing or saying that we shouldn't rest because we should. So God made both rest and work, both for our edification. So I want to get into the purpose of work first and what it is, and then we'll kind of go into the bunny trail of what is rest, because they do go hand in hand and we need both. So what is work? It is a gift that God gave us in the garden before the fall.
Yeah.
So I went online, and so AI has just been really helpful. I love AI. Could be a controversial topic, but I do enjoy it right now before it takes over the world.
Here we go.
So I got my AI to give me the theology of work, and it pulls from the websites that I frequent often. So like Gospel Coalition, Grace to You, which is John MacArthur's church, Ligonier Ministries, which is R.C. Sproul. So it's like sources that I trust. Mm-hmm. And it says, theology of work refers to the biblical perspective on work, which views it as God-given responsibility and a way to participate in God's creation by actively stewarding the earth, reflecting God's image through our labor, and ultimately glorifying him through our work, even in everyday tasks. Mm-hmm. So essentially, work is not just a means to survive, but a meaningful vocation with spiritual value. And I just love that. I love that it gives work not just say this is just how we survive, it gives it more, it gives it a meaning,
yeah,
that God gave for us.
Yeah,
so living is working, living for the Lord is working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of different types of work, and I'll go into that a little bit, but I just love it. And I do think that we kind of get, as a Christian, it's hard to balance, I guess, because our value isn't derived from our work, but we should find value in work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Okay.
I would like to camp out for a minute on work existed before the fall.
Yes. So we see that in Genesis 2:15 in the creation narrative. So God does his work. Mm-hmm. So obviously we see the whole first chapters are God's work in creation and him bestowing the gift of continuing that work of maintaining and caring for this world to man.
Yeah.
And in Genesis 2:15, it literally says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Mm. So we are here to work the ground.
Yeah.
We don't like work because as a result of the fall, we have toil. So work and toil are two different things.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to camp on in that?
No, I just wanted to, you know, dig in a little bit more. I think that, sorry.
Footsies.
Yeah, footsies.
I think that we can get very distracted by our work. Work is a good thing. That's what we're saying. Work is good. Mm-hmm. And so we can get very distracted by it, and we can, like, humbug it, like, oh, I have to go into the office. Or we can, like, make it our whole identity. Mm-hmm. And we have to find our balance. And it's important, but it's not of utmost importance. It's not bad, but it is good. And it's not your identity, but it is something that identifies you. Mm-hmm. So those are, I think, just important things to think through. I mean, like, when you meet someone, usually, you say, hey, what's your name? Oh, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's a second question. We make it more important than it actually is. And we have to stop that.
Yeah.
But we can't then direct ourselves the opposite way and be like, well, it's bad. There is a balance to be found, I think.
Yeah. I think once I moved to the South, the second question I found that people ask is, what school did you go to? Which I found so crazy. And
wait,
they meant
really?
College.
They don't ask.
It's not
that?
It's not like the second. Like, it's still wild to me when that's the second question that people ask. And then, because also, like, I didn't do the conventional, like, 4-year write up. So I'm always like, high school? And they're like, what do you mean, you freak? Like, I don't understand your question. It's so funny. But also, to go on that, I like to ask people what they do because I think, like, it helps me understand them as a person.
Yeah.
To me, I'm not asking someone to like get a how much money do you make, like, what's your status in the work environment. I'm like, what do you do? And like, because like, maybe I could relate to you if you work in IT, or you know, might just like help me understand you as a person. So
yeah, that's true.
But I know that that's not everybody's meaning for when they ask, what do you do? They're like, sizing you up.
Well, and I think I've mentioned before, when I've traveled, the second question, or like, people really get to know like what you enjoy. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions I would hear was like, how do you like to spend your time?
Yeah.
And I was like,
that's sweet.
Yeah, that's,
I like that a lot better.
Yeah.
I like that a lot better.
Yeah.
And like, we all enjoy our jobs, which is a blessing.
Yeah.
Not everyone does.
Yeah.
And I enjoy a job that isn't my whole life. Because some people do make work their whole life. my job does pay for my life. I mean, it pays for all of our lives. But, like, that is how I view it. I have this job to make a living, yes, to positively impact the world, but also to pay for my life.
Yeah.
It is not my life. Yeah. But, I mean, it is, to your point, Mo, helpful. Like, if someone were to ask me that, I'm a school counselor. Like, that does give information without actually having to say it. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
Yeah. I do definitely think, like, Americans have a different view of, like, the work rest relationship than, especially, like, Europeans. I like going 100%. To Europe. And so it's, when I'm there, like, they take literally the entire country takes the month of, like, August off.
Oh. For, like, health, right? Or, like, mental or something.
Yeah.
Why August?
I don't remember if it's July or August, but, like, they literally, everybody takes the month off. And they, like, they vacation. Yeah. Everybody goes on, what is it called? Holiday. They go on holiday.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's on just, holiday. Like, I like that. There are things that I really like about the American work ethic, because we should work hard. We are, like, God wants us to work hard. Like, we, everything that we do, do it to the best of your ability as unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. But then also we are to rest.
Yeah.
So there needs to be that balance.
Well, and, like, Sabbath is still a thing.
Oh, yeah.
But who actually practices that?
Yeah.
Not most of us.
No.
Not most of us.
Mm-mm. At least not well.
No.
Yeah. Sabbath is interesting, and I want to talk about that as well at the end, because I want to talk about the difference between actually resting and what Sabbath means.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the different types of work, because, like, what y'all are talking about with when you say, okay, I'm a school counselor, it gives a little bit of information about you and how the Lord put you together. So he did give us all talents. He did give us all different abilities. Mm-hmm. So there is a article in the Gospel Coalition. It's on the basics of a biblical theology of work. And it lays out 6 different types, categories of work that we can participate in that relate to how God works. So there's redemptive work, which is God's saving and reconciling actions. So you're thinking, like, these are, like, your, quote, professional Christians. And we'll talk about that as well, because I think we're going to do an episode on, like, what a professional Christian is. So think counselor, peacemaker, pastor, those people. So then there's creative work, which is actually creating things. So creating, like, metal workers and interior designers, fashion designers. Like, we have a really good friend who's a fashion designer, and her creativity is just wild.
It's incredible.
Because I'm not put together that way. We all have different gifts in that area. Then there's providential work. So that's sustaining humans and creation. So think, like, shipbuilders, farmers, like, you're sustaining the world. Janitors, they're maintaining, making sure everything runs smoothly. There's justice work, which is, like, judges, lawyers, paralegals. Like, God calls us to be in the justice system because he is just. There's compassionate work, which is comforting, healing, doctors, psychology, that kind of thing. And then there's revelatory work. So that's scientists. So they're, like, looking into nature and revealing what God has already created there so we can understand the world around us better. So, like, scholars, writers, all of that. And the different jobs can kind of fall into different categories, because I would consider mine probably sustaining and maybe creative, something like that. But it's just cool to see the different categories of work, because we're all so different.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's 7 of them?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought 6.
6. You're right.
Oh, sorry.
I can't count.
It's like, did I miss one?
No, it's 6. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Because I like that. Because it's like, sometimes I'll get jealous of people who I think are doing, like, maybe a cooler job than what I think I'm doing.
Yeah.
But it's just, I'm not wired that way. Like, if I could be, an interior designer, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I just don't have, one, the capacity, and two, the patience to sit there and look at something and figure out how to put it together.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's important too, like, we'll put the article in the show notes. Look at it. Look where you are. And if you find that we'll talk about burnout in a future episode, but I have found that I historically have not done a good job of working and serving, because I tend to serve the church in the same ways that I work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a school counselor, and I was on a leadership team and leading a Bible study and leading an FCA group. So I was pouring out of the same cup in so many areas. Mm-hmm. And you actually, Rachel, are the one who pointed out to me, you were like, you need to do something where you're just moving. Mm-hmm. Like, greet people.
Yeah.
And that helped me so much, because I had never thought about it before. Like, we are to work. We are to serve the church. We don't have to be doing the same thing both places. And from personal experience, I would recommend don't.
Yeah.
Because then you get grumpy. I was getting grumpy.
Well, because you weren't Sabbathing.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So another resource that I drew from for this was a sermon from John MacArthur. It was also his. It's called A Theology of Work from him. And again, all of these we're going to link. There was just a passage or a section from this sermon that I just absolutely loved. And it talks about kind of everything we've talked about already on the episode. So, like, the fact that work was there before creation, what it is, and then kind of how it differentiates us from the other parts of creation. So I'm going to start quoting. The fall did not introduce work. It changed its nature. I love that.
That's good.
And it's the nature of work that is the punishment, but not work itself. Mm-hmm. Work neither began nor ceased with the fall. It just took a different shape. It went from being a righteous blessing solely to being a righteous blessing with a curse on top. And so man seeks to restore the glory of work.
That's so good.
Yeah. With the sweat of his brow and all of his ingenuity, he goes after this cursed earth, using the wonderful creative gifts that he's been given because he's in the image of God, to abstract out of the richness of this planet everything that he can possibly extract, to provide value to his life, to provide meaning to his life, to provide provision for his life and those in his family, to provide for the needs of others, and most importantly, to bring dignity upon himself as one made in the image of God who demonstrates God-like creativity. Love that. I love how it parallels. We are doing this because we're in the image of God, yeah, and he is a creator. He is a worker. And mm-hmm. so we work. So I'm going to continue the quote. So monkeys don't write symphonies. Monkeys don't grow gardens. Only men write symphonies and grow gardens. Only men paint beautiful paintings. Only men build massive edifices that are true mind-boggling achievements of engineering and brilliance and creativity. This is the dignity of what it means to work in the image of God. This is our dignity. This is part of the nobility of being a man. We have been given, according to Genesis 1:26, dominion over the earth from the very beginning. This meant that everything that was in the garden was somehow under the control of man for his benefit, his good, to demonstrate his mobility, being made in the image of God, and then to rebound to the glory of God himself. Mm. I just love that so much. I just think that's such a good, well-phrased description of what work is and why we work.
Yeah, the fall changed the nature of work.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's an incredible way to look at that. Mm-hmm. When you think about the nature of something or the nature of someone, it can change. Mm-hmm. And man, I like that a lot. Well, and it will change back.
Yeah.
Because we're going to, I mean, we'll still work in heaven.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think we do too.
And it will only be life-giving and only be glorifying to the Lord.
Yeah.
And this, let me find it. This bit, to bring dignity upon himself as one made in the image of God who demonstrates God-like creativity. It matters what you do.
Mm-hmm.
What you do matters. It also matters what you do. Those sound like the same thing, but they're not. Like, I can do the job of a school counselor and not do it well.
Yeah.
Right. And so what I do matters. I need to be doing something that's a gift from the Lord, right? Like somehow that he has gifted me, but it matters what I do in that work.
Yeah. Well, and it also matters how you do it.
Right.
Are you doing it so that you will be fulfilled?
Right.
Or are you doing it so that the Lord's will be done on earth?
Right.
And you'll be able to help others through it.
And are you doing it for kingdom impact, mm-hmm. or to glorify the own, your own little kingdom that you've created for yourself?
Yeah. And that's such an easy thing for us to fall into, because especially like, I mean, in every different, in each of these six different categories, we can twist it to make it about ourselves. So mm-hmm. in my line of work, it's so easy for me to focus on advancing my name, because it's in a very competitive environment. So if I am doing well, am I doing it because God has called me to do well, or am I doing it because I want my name to be at the top of the list?
Yeah.
And that is a good heart check, mm-hmm. because it's okay. Why do I work? I work for the Lord.
Yeah. This is making me think of one of the questions from our accountability group. I don't remember quite which one, but there's one of them, and it always makes me think about work mm-hmm. every time. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. So the question, one of the questions that we ask in our accountability group is, do you believe that you are better than you are, and are you a hypocrite? And I always think about, like, okay, where am I the most comparative? And it's at work. And I don't love that about myself, but it's good that I know that. And I'm consistently knowing that this question is going to come up and I'm going to have to talk about it. And so during the work day, I can consider, okay, all I can control is me. Mm-hmm. I am going to do my job to the best of my ability and encourage those that I work with and around to do that as well by living out the love of the Lord in the workplace.
Yeah.
And if I can, which, like, I mess that up all the time. I'm not saying this like it's an easy thing to do, but if I can actively work towards that mm-hmm. every day, when I am doing that, I find myself more productive. I find my conversations at work being more positive, and I find just easier working relationships because I'm consistently reminding myself that it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not necessarily easy. We get very distracted by things that are going on and putting fires out and doing whatever. But if we can, like, reframe,
yeah,
I think that would benefit us in the workplace.
Yeah. And that's part of one of the reasons why I just love this topic so much, is because we spend most of our lives working. Yes. We spend from the time, in at least in today's world, from the time we're 18 to the time we're like 60, 65, working traditionally 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So it is something that we should think about, because we mm-hmm. should think about why we do it.
Yeah.
And we should think about, okay, when we are getting caught up in the fires, when we are getting all of, like, in the day to day, are we cognitive that we are working for the Lord and to his glory, and not just in our day to day mundane things?
Yeah. And if you are a parent and you are at home with the kids, you are working.
Mm.
Like, work, yes. Work does not mean a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
Like, the word work covers a multitude of efforts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think of all the people who I love dearly who do have the ability to stay home with their children, and you don't stop.
Yeah.
You're working 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You do not stop.
Yeah.
That middle of the night cry, you're up.
Yeah.
You don't stop. Our doctors and nurses who mm-hmm. are on 12-hour shifts, who are doing so much,
mm-hmm.
and back to the work and rest, we have to rest. We have to actively make time to rest,
mm-hmm.
because we can get so caught up in doing good things, but giving so much of ourselves that we burn out.
Yeah. So just one more verse for the we are to work, because I think that something that I have become very frustrated with, and I'm going to sound so old, with the the upcoming generation is, and this is, Jordan, something that you told me, most kids now just want to be influencers.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do it because they think, oh, I can really make a difference here. They want to do it because it's not easy, but it looks easy.
It's pretty.
It's fun. You see the glamour of it, and it's just, these kids just want to have fun and they don't want to work.
Yeah. Well, and it's not a true understanding. And when I was telling Rachel about this, we have a reality fair every, I work at a high school, and we have a reality fair for our 8th graders every year. And so they come to the high school and they go to the gym and there are people at tables and they have to, based on what they say they do for a living, they have a monthly budget that they have to set, and they're walking around and they're like, that's how much childcare is? Mm-hmm. I'm not paying for that. And like, cool, what are you doing for your kids? It says you have four.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to actually figure it out. And we had to make a specific, like, so come good. Up with some sort of salary for yeah. an influencer, because so many kids
yeah.
literally said, well, I'm going to be an influencer on social yeah. media.
Well, it's, I'm going to be an influencer, or they're okay with someone else taking care of them.
Yeah.
Whether it's the state or yeah. mom and dad, or mm-hmm. they're.
Yeah. They were like, oh, I'm just going to live with my mom and yeah. she's going to take care of my kids while I'm at work. I was like, she's not here to sign off on that. You need to figure out your yeah. budget.
Well, and like, and I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with multi-generational living. Like, no. that is something that used to be in our world very prevalently.
It still is across different cultures yeah. too.
But if you're wanting to just live with your parent, and I do, I lived with my parents for a while as a, yeah, I think I was 27, 28, because I was blessed enough to have them kind of as a safety net, because yeah. I lost my job. I didn't have a means to take care of myself. So they were able to provide me a place to live. I don't think there's anything wrong with that for a time. But when you are just solely relying on someone else to take care of you, like, that is not biblical or ethical. So right. 2 Thessalonians, this is the last thing I'll say on this, and then I'll get off of it. But 2 Thessalonians 3:9-11 says, it was not because we do not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. So it's this church, these people were, the church, the early church was wonderful at providing for each other.
Yeah.
There was none that went without, but some of the people took advantage of that. And instead of actually working, mm-hmm. they just used their time to gossip about everybody else. And they just took what the church could give them, and they weren't actually working hard. Mm-hmm. And that is not biblical or ethical.
No. Well, and where is it? In scripture, we see, I really wish I could remember the reference, but we see people coming, selling everything, living as a community so that no one wants for anything. And so, like, the church is doing this. And it's
Acts 4:34-35.
Okay, yeah.
For neither was there among them any that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto each according as anyone had need.
Living selflessly. Working, but living selflessly. When we consider the early church and all of the different types of people who had all different types of jobs, we had people coming together at church who, like, served, like, I worked in Rachel's house, and we are at church serving alongside each other as equals, and Rachel has given up X, Y, and Z possession because myself and people who are like me who can't afford as much are without, and she's providing for. And it's just like, yes, mm-hmm. this is what we need to be doing. We need to be working selflessly. But the world tells us you work for your keep.
Yeah.
It's totally opposite.
Yeah. But there's that balance, because yeah. if anyone doesn't work, they should not eat.
Correct.
And that's where it's, we like swing back and forth, and it's capitalism versus socialism. And mm-hmm. it's, okay, every man for himself, and he who works really hard gets all the money, he can do whatever he wants with it. And no, everybody who works hard just gives everything to everyone else, and then no one actually works hard because there's no point. So yeah. there is a balance, and yeah. that's something that God builds into nature, is balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else on that? And I'm not going to rest.
Yeah. You're going
to
go on. What'd
you say? Into rest.
I thought you said, oh. I'm taking a moment to rest. I was too. Like, oh, okay. Are you all right?
I'm sad. I'm going to practice what I'm preaching, and I'm going to rest for a moment.
I was very confused. No, that's good. Thank you.
So, speaking of balance, talking about how it is important to work and we should work, mm-hmm. and calling back to what Jordan said earlier, where it shouldn't be our whole lives. We are called to rest.
Yeah.
So, Mark to 27. So it's when Jesus is talking to...
Sorry, will you say Mark 2:27 again louder? Because you were just quiet.
Mark 2:27 says, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Mm. So in context, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees because... the Pharisees are accusing the disciples of disobeying the Sabbath because they were eating grain from a field when they should not have been. And so basically Jesus is saying, no. Sabbath was made for man to rest, not man for the Sabbath. And so pulling even more into that, it's Sabbath was a gift to man because God knows that we are not infinite beings. We are not all powerful and we need to rest. Mm. So God made a balance for man and demonstrated it in the creation narrative. One without the other is out of alignment with the natural rhythms he built into this world. So we work, we must work, we must rest. We do not work so that we can rest. We rest because God rested. So
question.
Yeah.
What do we think about retirement then?
I go back and forth with retirement.
Yeah.
Because it's been so built in. That, okay, I'm going to work and I'm going to save so that I can retire early. Like, that's what I've thought. But then I look at, so my dad is approaching retirement. Mm-hmm. He retires May is when he retires.
This May. Cool.
Yeah. But, and I've talked to him actually specifically about this. And it's, he is not, I've worried about him because he is someone who he's worked from the time he was like 12 years old. And so I'm like, okay, what are you going to do? And he's like, Rachel, I'm not going to not do anything. He's like, I'm not going to just golf every day. I'm not going to just take everything that I've worked for and just do whatever I want. Mm. He's going to become like a deacon in his church and really get involved in serving the community and working in that vocation. So he's going to basically just transition into a
different
line of work.
So retiring from the career, but continuing to work.
Correct. In the Lord's economy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to a sermon recently and they briefly mentioned this and the pastor was funny. He was like, I'm about to make a lot of enemies. Don't send me an email. and he said, retirement is not biblical. And he just kind of paused and let people sit with it for a second. And so that's what he was talking about, though. He wasn't saying like, it's not bad to retire. That's wonderful. You've worked your whole life. You literally earned the opportunity to no longer be working in this way. Mm-hmm. But then what? And because I see so many people who retire, I think, very well and are doing like what your dad is saying. And they serve and they work in the community and they'll like work with the food pantry at a school and like make sure that the community is taken care of and continue to use the gifts that the Lord has given them in a new way. And they have done so much for so long that they no longer need to earn a regular income because they can provide for themselves. So it's not just like, well, I'm done.
Yeah.
And my family's going to have to figure out how to support me because I'm just burnt out. Like, that's not it. Like, you don't work so hard that you just can't work anymore. You earn it, but then you still give your time. It's time, talent, and treasure to the Lord.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. As long as we are on this earth and then in eternity.
Yeah. Because when you're living solely for yourself, which is what the worldly idea of retirement is, where you just live for yourself, that's such an empty existence.
Yeah.
Like, that's so, like, you see it in, like, the elites, where it's the people who have all the money in the world. They don't have to, like, work a traditional job anymore. They just buy whatever they want. They have such sad lives.
Yeah.
And they constantly are seeking meaning and value. But whenever you're working in a vocation that the Lord has gifted you in for others, like, your days are just more full. Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yes.
They are indeed. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to steward what we have well. I have specific people in mind who, like, married couples. Mom was able to stay home, raise the kids. Kids are not here. And I've seen women get a job after that and enter into the workforce. I've seen women decide to honestly kind of do like what a retirement option is, which is to serve in the community. And it's stewarding what we have well, whether mm-hmm. like, and again, that's our time or our talent or our treasure. And we are responsible. We're responsible for everything that the Lord has given us. He's given us one body that we are to take care of, our physical body. He's given us talents that we need to use for His glory. He's given us a specific amount of time on earth that we should use to His glory. He knows that amount, not us. We don't start living when X, Y, or Z happens. We are living now. And then our treasure, whether that's a household or money or whatever, like whatever the Lord has given to us, we give to Him our first fruits. Mm-hmm. And stewarding what we have, stewarding our work, that is our mission field. And it is different for every person, even people who have the same jobs, because they have different home lives, right?
Yes, yeah.
And we have to be, I believe, in community, and we have to be known in order to do this well, because it's really easy for me to live my life as a single woman, making money, using it for whatever I want, and not letting anyone in. Mm-hmm. I had to choose to bring people into that for accountability and trust people in my community, so that when I'm being irresponsible with my income or not saving as much so that I can have pretty things, which pretty things are great, but like save your money, then I am held accountable because I asked to be.
Yeah.
But we are responsible for that. We have to seek that out.
Yep.
There were a few articles that I really enjoyed that I will link in the show notes as well, all from the Gospel Coalition. Shout out. But one of them was just the purpose of work, which is a good read. Another one, your work matters, but don't deify it. And then the third one is like a link to the Let's Talk podcast, Jackie Hill Perry. Mm-hmm. And they're just all very good to think about and think through. And I think that we can, I just said think a lot. I believe that we can get very wrapped up in our day to day, and we can, on the way to work or home from work or while we're cooking, like listen to something like a podcast about this that's helpful.
What? I was thinking about what Rachel listens to on her way to work.
Oh.
What?
Your boy.
Your boy. You
know, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm just laughing.
I think that we can use our time efficiently. There's time for rest. And I'm bad at that. Like I'm the person who I wake up on Saturday at 10 a.m. and I feel like I did something wrong, because I'm like, oh no, like I should have been, this is so much of my Saturday. I could have been up. I could have exercised, or like I will just be hard on myself because I am truly terrible at resting. And so I have to actively seek out rest and try and literally pray as I'm relaxing on the couch, Lord, help me to stop thinking about the 80 other things that I could be doing right now that I consider to be productive. Mm-hmm. Because this is also productive. All of that to say, we can take time to listen to other people talking about these things and reading different articles instead of binging a show.
Yeah.
Listening to music. I love music. Like, consider how you're spending your time and where you could fit beneficial pieces of help in like this.
I am the complete opposite.
What do you mean?
I slept till noon today.
Wow.
It was.
I was wondering why you didn't text me back.
You were asleep. As soon as I woke up, I texted you back.
I am envious of that.
It was so nice.
I can't sleep that late anymore. I've ruined myself.
Wow. I sure can.
That's great. It's I love awesome. That for you.
Me too. I love it. I sleep so much.
Like, you sleep straight through, or you woke up and went back to sleep?
I woke up because I had set my alarm for 10. Mm-hmm. And I said, no.
Not today. Wow.
Not and yet, I said, Alexa, alarm off.
I had to go to the dentist today, so I really had to get up. I don't like it there. They're so nice. Just generally, I don't like the dentist. Yeah. Anyway, that really derailed.
It's good. Work is good.
Work is good.
I love that we're doing this series. I'm so excited about it.
Me
Yes. You know what I stopped doing on Sundays?
What?
Making my bed.
Oh.
I love it. Good. It makes me feel like I don't have to do that today.
Yeah.
Like every day I wake up and I make my bed. Mm-hmm. And Sundays I'm like, no, I'm not going to make my bed today.
That's good.
And it feels a little, it feels restful for me.
I
not
love
to
that.
Make my bed.
I love that a lot.
It's been like a really nice step.
Yeah. Good. So are you taking steps towards Sabbath or just like adding extra things in on your Sabbath?
That's a good question. No, I think I'm just trying to be, as I find myself like still doing laundry on Sunday and
yeah,
like getting ready for the week, unfortunately.
I think Sabbath would be an interesting thing to do an episode on.
We could wrap up this series with it.
Yeah.
Faith and work, ending it with Sabbath.
So how do you guys Sabbath? Do you, I guess? Start with do you and how do you?
So I don't struggle to Sabbath. I struggle to work.
Oh.
So like if I'm off, like the past 2 weeks, mm-hmm. like I've checked my email, but I am not working.
When you're off, you're
I can
off.
Completely just not even think about it.
Good.
Oh. Wow. It's been like, that's what I slept till noon today. It was delightful. Like when I'm off, I am off.
Yeah.
But like getting back into the rhythm of work is mm-hmm. like, okay, I have to do that. So mine is the opposite.
Hmm. What about you, Mo?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make my bed on Sundays.
There we go. This is something that has come up a lot in my life the last, like, probably 5 years. And so it's not something that I have, like, sat down to consider. But I've been having more and more conversations with people. And I'm trying to remember what the verbiage was, but my favorite explanation of it was like doing the things that bring you rest. Because in my mind, I thought Sabbath, like I'm not just trying to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That actually stresses me out because I have a weekend before the week starts. And so I do still make my bed on Sundays, but I actively try to move at a slower pace on Sundays. Because I just feel like I'm running around all the time like a crazy person trying to get to the next thing. So I'm actively trying to slow down and have a nice breakfast and read before I head to church. And then if people want to go to lunch, fantastic. If not, I'll stop at the grocery store on the way home. And I meal prep on Sundays. But that is so relieving to me mm-hmm. because I am doing something that sets me up for success for the week mm-hmm. and that brings me peace mm-hmm. because I'm not worried about what I'm going to be eating.
Right.
And then I was telling a friend that and they said, well, then you're working. So that's not Sabbath. And I'm like, well, but I don't feel like that's work. So I think there are also disagreements among people with what it actually looks like.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Jewish tradition of Sabbath is you literally do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in Israel, so Sabbath for Judaism starts sundown on Friday.
Yeah.
And so like you will literally, if you have not reached your destination, your car, people will park their cars and walk the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then the elevators on Sabbath, they run for the 24 hours and they go to each floor so that you don't push the button.
Yeah.
You can just get in the elevator and it will take you, but you get, so if there are 7 floors, you're on floor 1.
Floor 2.
It opens it every floor.
But pushing a button is considered work?
Yeah.
Why isn't walking considered work?
You can only walk a certain distance. Like, that's why, like, you can't. I'll look it up.
But there's no limitation to arm distance?
I guess not. I don't know. We can add it.
Leg distance, but not arm distance.
Yeah, I'm going to add Sabbath.
It's interesting.
I think that would be a good one.
I have found it harder.
So they're permitted to travel 2,000 cubits. So 3/4 of a mile.
Not very far.
Well, and that's because the Mount of Olives was within this distance from Jerusalem.
Oh. Of course there's a reason. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I found it hard to working from home. Mm. it's hard for me to like differentiate, because if I do leave my desk, which happens often, and like I go and sit on my couch and work on my couch, mm-hmm. and then I finish what I'm doing, it's hard for me to be at home already and like on my couch, even though I was just working. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for me to flip that switch, I guess, and like recognize that like I didn't just rest while I was on the couch working.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
okay.
Because it like that's my place of rest, but I just brought my computer there with me.
Right.
And I wasn't actually resting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it, my brain gets really messed up from that.
Well, that, I mean, there are studies that have been done, especially with the upswing of people working from home after 2020, and people are like, it's affecting people's sleep, their work ethic, like working from home, because people will wake up, roll over, grab their laptop and start working in bed. And so like sleep studies have been done that show it's negatively affecting sleep. Like there is a lot of crossover. Is that the word I want? A lot. It's related. The working at home and not being able to turn off.
Well, and like you think about why that is, because I mean, people used to work in their homes all the time.
Yeah.
Like before we had technology, before we had the conveniences of like people worked in their home. Like that is what they did. Their wood crafting station was right outside and they would just come in or they would go out. Like, and wives obviously were homemakers and they worked in their home. But everything else in our lives is so, quote, convenient now. Like the way we do dishes, the way we do laundry, the way we make our food. Like it's so convenient, which is a good thing. And I do think God gave us advances in technology because he is a good God and he gave us creative resources.
Yeah.
But it's affected the way we view every type of work.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know where we go with that, but it's just something I had. I have a resolution. I love when I have a washing machine, but.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man. This is all very thought-provoking. I think that's good.
That's what this should be.
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. Go team.
Go team. I was provoked the whole episode, I think.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Provoked?
I was...
Her thoughts were provoked.
My thoughts were provoked. Sorry. Okay. My thoughts were provoked. Settle down.
Never.
My thoughts were provoked the whole episode, guys. I'm still here.
There we are. Good.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything else, Noah? We'll wrap it up.
Just briefly... If you do nothing else, truly consider what your work-life balance is. One of the most helpful things that my boss said to me my first day at work, he pulled me and my coworker Hannah together. We both started working out of school on the same day. Well, that's not even true. Doesn't matter. We started working. She went to work before me. We started working at the school together, and it was both of our first school counseling jobs. And our boss was kind of giving us the lay of the land, whatever. And he said, also, you work 8 to 4, so work 8 to 4. Mm. And I was like, well, obviously I work 8 to 4. What? And he said, it is really easy because there is always work that could still be done to stay late or take it home with you. You have full lives. Work 8 to 4. And that was very helpful. And it's something that this is my 5th year. And it's something that I think of often because there is always more that I could do. And it's kind of a joke among the office. Like, people hear me packing up because I'm like, no, like it's 4. I am going home. And that's important. It's important to be able to leave work at work and go enjoy your life. The Lord has given us many blessings to enjoy. And finding the balance is important.
That is so different.
I know.
From my work environment.
I know.
That's wild.
Yeah. But it has been the biggest blessing. I've worked many different jobs, and this is the first person who has been like, when you're off, be off.
Yeah. That's
great. It was very helpful. Obviously, I work in education. It's different, but like, there are drawbacks. If you worked your specific hours, you would make less money.
Yeah.
I make the same money, so that doesn't affect me.
But that's true. That's true.
You could do that.
Yeah.
You probably won't.
No.
But that's your decision.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's up to us. So consider it. All of you. What could I do?
Love that.
All of you.
All of you
out there.
All you people.
We love you.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Gather to Scatter. So on our next episode, we're going to continue this conversation on faith and work. So we'll be chatting about working as a Christian in the secular world.
Mm.
And all three of us will have a lot to say about that.
Yes.
So you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to follow our Instagram page. Just search Gather to Scatter and subscribe, like, and follow.
Bye.
Love you guys.